I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning is from Job chapter 1, verse 1, and then chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence have you come?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without cause." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and afflicted Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd with him to scrape himself, and sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the reading. Have you ever gone through hard times? If not, have you known people who went through hard times? Here are some hard times historically. The Great Depression. And here are some facts about the Great Depression. Some of you may actually remember it or remember the tail end of it. The Great Depression peaked between 1932 and 33. Some 6,000 street vendors walked the streets of New York City in 1930 trying to sell apples for 5 cents each. President Herbert Hoover's name became synonymous with the hardships faced by many. Soup was called Hoover stew, and shanty towns made of cardboard and sheets were called Hoovervilles. Zippers became widely used because buttons became too expensive. Because the circulation of money was so low, the U.S. didn't mint nickels in 1932 or 33. The biggest hit song of 1932 was "Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?" by Bing Crosby. Thousands of homeless families camped out on the Great Lawn at Central Park in New York City, which was an empty reservoir during the Great Depression. By 1940, 2.5 million people had fled the Great Plains. Roughly 200,000 moved to California. The term Skid Row came about during the Depression years. One of the largest Hoovervilles in the nation was built in 1930 in St. Louis. It had its own mayor, churches, and social institutions. The shanty town was funded by private donors and existed until 1936. Now, please keep in mind, our church was built during this period, the Great Depression. 1932 and 33, this magnificent edifice was built. As if the Great Depression wasn't enough for folks to deal with, we also had the Dust Bowl. Anybody remember the Dust Bowl? You ever seen anything about it? I love watching the History Channel. One monster dust storm reached the Atlantic Ocean, while black blizzards constantly menaced plains states in the 1930s. A massive dust storm, 2 miles wide, traveled 2,000 miles before hitting the East Coast on May 11th, 1934. For 5 hours, a fog of prairie dirt enshrouded landmarks such as the Statue of Liberty and the U.S. Capitol, inside which lawmakers were debating a soil conservation bill. And the Dust Bowl was both man-made and a natural disaster, because beginning with World War I, American wheat harvest flowed like gold as demand boomed. And so people had this idea that it was just going to keep on going, and then the grounds, our own earth, was destroyed because farmers were in such a hurry they didn't nurture the earth, which helped make the Dust Bowl. The ecosystem disruption unleashed plagues of jackrabbits and grasshoppers. If the dust storms that turned daylight into darkness were apocalyptic enough, seemingly biblical plagues of jackrabbits and grasshoppers descended on the plains and destroyed whatever meager crops could grow. Thick clouds of grasshoppers as large as 23,000 insects per acre, according to one estimate, went over farms. Hard times. We look at Job, we think, hard times. Dust storms crackled with powerful static electricity, so much static electricity built up between the ground and airborne dust that blue flames leapt from barbed wire fences, and well-wishers shaking hands could generate a spark so powerful it could knock them to the ground. It's pretty powerful. Since static electricity could short out engines and car radios, motorists driving through dust storms dragged chains from the back of their automobiles to ground their cars. Not to mention the people that breathed in the swirling dust and got what they called a black lung. They breathed in so much, people died from the dust. Asthma went crazy, bronchitis and influenza. It's amazing the hard times that people go through. And we think about hard times today, and what is a hard time to you? What is really difficult for you? Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence have you come?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that a man has he will give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your power, only spare his life." Those who suffered such tragedies as the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl no doubt felt as though God put forth his hand and touched their bone and flesh. Those who have lost a child or a spouse, those who have sent family members off to war who never returned, those who have died in earthquakes, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and other natural disasters have no doubt felt the Lord's hand was set against them. Yet the book of Job tells us a very different story. The book of Job is the first poetic book in our Old Testament addressing the theme of God's justice in the face of human suffering, or more simply, why do the righteous suffer? It is a rich theological work setting out a variety of perspectives. It has been widely and often extravagantly praised for its literary qualities, with Alfred Lord Tennyson calling it the greatest poem of ancient and modern times. The book of Job is commonly accepted as allegorical, that is, a representation of a spiritual meaning through concrete or material forms, figurative treatment of one subject under the guise of another. a symbolic narrative. And why is that? Because if we took this book literally, we would have to say, there's no getting around it, that the reason people suffer is because God says it's okay. God says to Satan, go ahead. I give you permission. In this book, Satan cannot do anything unless God gives him permission. So we say it's allegorical. It represents. Because we don't see God that way, I hope. If we were to accept it as fact, the facts would be overwhelming. For to think God would actually be the one to give permission for any one of us to be harmed at his pleasure is not only unthinkable, but totally contrary to the teachings of Jesus. I believe the writer of Job wants to convey to us that regardless of our situation, no matter how bad it gets, whether it be a great depression, a dust bowl, loss of a loved one, or a natural disaster that takes lives, we are to remain faithful, continue to be righteous, because to do otherwise makes us nothing more than a spoiled child. So we go through life and we want good things and we pray to God, give me good things. But when something bad happens, what is our initial response? But to say, God, why did you let this happen to me? But I want to put before you that God had a different idea when God created this world. That God said, there's a front door and there's a back door. I'm going to give you good. But if you take the good, you're going to take the evil. There's bad on the other side. There can't be one without the other. If we had no bad, how would we know what was good? How would we know? If we were all good and there was no bad, how do you think we would survive? Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. If we're going to accept all the good things in life, don't we accept that there is bad? So we know that we sit here many Sundays praying for rain. We need rain. Then the rain comes. And then we hear, that's too much rain. We need to stop it. Then it stops. Then we say, wait a minute, where's the rain? You heard that? Don't we do that? This year. Then we have the ones where we say, gosh, you know, we never have a winter. I wish we had a winter. Then winter comes. The ice gets on the lines. People start going into other people's homes because some people don't have electricity, and they say, boy, I wish winter would be over real quick. I don't like winter. I don't like heat. Why doesn't God make it 75 degrees every day? No rain. No need for rain. Because God says, here's the front door. But if you have a front to a door, there's a back. How are we going to know what to be thankful for? You cannot have one without the other. Otherwise, how would we know what good and evil look like? How would we know that? We have members of this congregation that I have been with and sat with as they were going through very difficult times. I was with Ann Benbow yesterday. She's been in the hospital 3 months. And she says, I just thank God every day. And I thank God for everyone in the congregation that's praying for me because I know prayers do good. Then she says, the infection is clearing up. The doctor says any day now I could get the word that I go to Dallas and get my new hip. She's facing tough times, but she's a thankful woman. There are many like that that suffer and yet are thankful in the midst of it. We have one in our congregation today. Bobby has gone through a very difficult time, But every time I talk to Bobby about it and I say, Bobby, you're going through a really tough time, she says, no, the Lord's just given me a different avenue. I used to read the word. Now I memorize it. That's what God does. One door may close, but another will open. God will never abandon you. And this story of Job tells us that there is good and bad. Should we have one without the other? No. They go together. As with the Garden of Eden, God makes both good and evil, life and knowledge, available. It is for us to choose. God is a God of choice. Jesus had a choice, and he chose life for us at the expense of his own. Did he suffer? Yes, he did. But he made that choice that he's going to do something for the good of everyone. What is the book of Job? It is a life lesson. Literally, it is a life lesson. Choose life, choose good, choose to remain a righteous child of God, regardless of any tough times you may have or will go through. In the end, God will restore it all to you when you return to him. So what do you think our forefathers and foremothers were thinking when they built this church? Is at the beginning of the Great Depression, it would have been very easy to say, let's not build anything too big, times are bad. So let's just build a little chapel and save the rest of the money so that we'll have something for the future. But they said, no, we're going to spend and make this great edifice for our congregations of the future so they'll have a place to come and worship. And that is one of the things that we will be celebrating when we have Heritage Sunday, is thank you for making this possible. And remember this old proverb, if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. God stays beside each and every one of us. We never walk a day in this world that God is not with us. And although we may not see it, we may not recognize it, when bad happens, God is there to say, keep the faith. There is bad, but there's good. So stay good. Maintain your integrity. Believe. And we will get through this together. May we know God's peace in such a way that stories like Job speak to us as we have an understanding. We're not going to go through life without any bad, but we're always going to have the good Lord with us. The good will always prevail. And that comes from our Lord and Master. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you today and we know that there is bad in this world. We've seen it in the shooting in Oregon. We see it when people die in war. But Lord, we know there is never a time you abandon us. May we maintain our integrity. May we work toward peace. And may we bring about a world that you can be proud of. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.